So, how you doing? So this is what I'm not expecting. When you say how you doing, just everyone should scream. Like, how you doing, guys? I like that. Come see me later. So my name is Islam Goma. I don't know if you guys came to my session this morning. Maybe you know me now. I'm MVP in System Center and also System Architect at Kivuto Solutions. I'm joined with Nila from DPM team. Nila?
Yep. Hello. Is it? Okay, this is good. I'm Nila Kohli. I'm a program manager in the DPM team, and we are going to talk about the DPM today.
Right. So does everyone know what we're going to talk about today? Awesome. That's perfect. I like that. Good. So I'm happy that people they can read. Awesome. So we have a good news for everyone. I'm assuming that people that they are using Windows. Anyone using Windows here? All right. Anyone using Linux? Any using Apple? All right. That's cool. So we have a good news for the people Linux and Windows. Trans is using Apple. I will take care of him later. So we have good news for everyone. So Nila is going to start the presentation, talk about some. He will set the stage for the people that are not using DPM. Then we'll see a lot of good features with DPM 2012 R2, right?
Yep.
Then after that, I'll take it from here and move it to the next step with Azure and Cloud and so on. Do we agree on the plan? No surprises. This is what we're going to do. All right? Awesome. So Nila, yep. Go ahead.
Thank you, Islam. So today we are going to show you how do we deploy or provision a DPM with just few clicks away, right? And also we are going to show you how the scale-out architecture will help you in protecting VMs that are deployed on large clusters. And we'll also be talking about how the rich application backup and recovery capabilities from DPM will help you in managing your data center backup needs. Also, we'll be looking at how Windows Azure Backup will help you in managing your offsite backup requirements with ease. Just before we get into the actual clicks, how many of you are aware of DPM, have used the DPM so far? If you could just show hands. Oh, cool. About 70, 75%. That's good. You are not counted. So as you can see on the left pane here, DPM can protect various Microsoft workloads like Exchange, SQL, SharePoint, and VMs over Hyper-V, and also we can protect the clients also. DPM can back up as frequent as 15 minutes. It can protect to a disk. And DPM leverages a technology called VSS, which is a unique technology that will help you in backing up the data in an application consistent manner, which means that if you have a SQL, either a particular transaction is in or out. This means that when you recover the data, it's in a usable state. It's not like somewhere in the middle where you cannot use it. That's the capability that we bring in here. Also, we have rich offsite backup capabilities. We can protect it to the tape, and you can ship it offsite location. You can also put another DPM server, like if you have a branch office location and then you have a main office, you can put all the branch offices its own DPM servers, and your main office will become your secondary DPM server, which will be offsite data protection. There also you can protect to disk or tape. Also, we introduced a new capability called Windows Azure Backup, where we'll be able to back up from the primary DPM server directly to the Windows Azure, and that will be your offsite protection, right? We'll have a demo on all of these things. So switching gears a little bit here, what does DPM do? DPM is an enterprise-ready application. Whether you call it as a scale level, whether you call it as a reliability, whether you call it as a performance, we have all the rich capabilities that you're looking for. If you talk about the scale, you can protect as many as 100 servers using one DPM server, or we can manage 80 terabytes of data using one DPM server. We can also have a central console concept where you can manage 100 DPM servers under one single pane of glass. So these kinds of scale capabilities are there. If you're talking about reliability, there are many situations where your backup may be failing due to various reasons. Maybe your production server is busy, right? DPM is capable of recognizing that, yeah, this is a retryable error. I'm going to go and retry. If something goes bad, if my backup becomes inconsistent, consistent with the production server, we'll automatically trigger a CC. So those kinds of auto-healing capabilities where you don't need to manually intervene and try to do it. Its DPM is intelligent enough to handle that as well. So if you look at the performance capabilities, right, DPM has a technology called Expressful Technology. If the change is happening, it doesn't matter SQL workload or Exchange workload, SharePoint, it doesn't matter. We will track all the changes as they happen, and we'll just send the only changed content. One of the biggest capabilities that DPM has is that it will transfer the full content only once in its lifetime. After that, it's only Delta content, and that's what it is. It's efficient in that fashion as well. Also, as your data center keeps growing, obviously you have to deploy more and more DPM servers, which means that managing those DPM servers is going to be a biggest job on that, right? We introduced a concept called Central Console, where you can manage all of your DPM servers under one single pane of glass. You don't need to go to each and individual DPM servers to manage your DPMs. Also, the Central Console has a very rich alert mechanisms, right? That in the sense that, let's say if you have a SQL server and it has 2,000 databases, DPM can protect it as 2,000 databases SQL instance, right? It can, and let's say the server is down in the middle of the night. Obviously, all the subsequent database backups will be failed, and DPM will keep on raising alerts saying that, hey, my backups are missing, my SLAs are missing. The Central Console is intelligent enough to say, oh, all of these failures are because of one root cause, and let me raise only one alert to you. So as a backup admin, you don't need to worry about 2,000 alerts, but rather just one alert and take action on it. So, and also you can resume the backup job for all 2,000 databases with a single click saying resume all backups. So these kinds of rich management capabilities are available as well in this, right? And as we talked about, it's a rich offsite backup capabilities. Either you want to take it to the tape and ship it to your another location, or you want to put another DPM server in your branch or main office location, or you can take the data to Azure. You have plenty of options there as well. As you are shifting your data centers to more and more virtual environments, obviously you are looking forward for backups, right, for those VMs, right? DPM has a very rich virtual machine capabilities, right? Whether your VM is running on a Hyper-V standalone or a cluster or a Hyper-V or SMB, it doesn't matter. DPM will do the efficient backup. Again, DPM has Expressful Technology enabled on this one, right? Now, also we have introduced a capability called exclude your temp files, right? You know, if you, let's say you have a VM and that has a page file, or you have temp downloads which you don't want to back up, there's no use for it, right? You can tell the DPM that, hey, don't back up these files, and DPM is intelligent enough to not to back up that anymore after that, right? So that's another, you will get great savings with that too. And we are going to show you a demo of large clusters, right? Let's say if you have a 64-node cluster with 4,000 VMs or even 32-node clusters, DPM, one single DPM cannot protect a whole cluster. So we'll have multiple DPM servers protecting the cluster. In the past, either you have to shrink the cluster or the DPM is DPM cannot protect the VMs. Now we expanded that capability so that multiple DPM servers can protect the single cluster. Now, you have seen many situations where your fabric administrator is more worried about the efficiency that he's using the Hyper-V platform, right? If the VM is struggling to run because of the compute needs, he's going to go out and move it to another cluster, another standalone. It doesn't matter. He can move it off, and it used to be backups will fail, right? Now, DPM is intelligent enough to track that VM down. It doesn't matter. You just need to set the settings in the beginning, and then DPM will go and track that VM and protect it from there. You don't need to, as a backup administrator, you don't need to do anything as well. Now, let's talk about the application-aware backup, right? As I mentioned in the beginning, DPM has very, very rich application backup capabilities. Either you want to backup the whole SharePoint farm, or you want to backup a whole SQL instance automatically, we can do that. Either you want to have every 15-minute backup, we can do that. You can protect the whole SharePoint farm, and you can search for a specific document, we can do that too. Or you can recover that document on your base. Also, in most of, like, be it a SQL, your SQL admin doesn't need to come and ask you, hey, backup admin, can you give me this database? He can do it by himself, right? DPM also has a client capability where your laptop guys, your engineers are backing up their data, and they want DB. They want their Word document. They don't need to ask you or raise a ticket for you. They can right-click on their time window, and then they can recover it by themselves. They don't need to involve you in there as well, right? Also, file system, again, if you have a deduped file system which is introduced in Windows 2012, we are efficient in taking that backup. What I mean by that is, let's say if you have 150 GB of data on the file server, and you enable the dedupe on it, so it becomes 70 GB, let's say. DPM takes it as a 70 GB data, stores it as a 70 GB data. So you are efficient not only on the wire, but also on the end storage. So we have various rich capabilities in terms of how application works. We are aware of those applications. Now, DPM is well integrated with the rest of the System Center products. Obviously, you are buying as a System Center suite, not as individual products. Obviously, you expect better management capabilities using that. I'll quickly walk over this here, right? For example, you can use a VMM service template, and then you can provision a DPM server. We are going to show you a demo. All you need to do is just do four clicks, and then you are done. DPM will be there. And then either you can manage all the DPM servers under one single SCOM server, right? I was telling, right? There one SCOM central console can manage 100 DPM servers. You don't need to go to the DPM servers anytime after that. Now, you can use Orchestrator runbooks. You can create and customize your own environment, and you can provide a backup as a service. Islam is going to show you a demo of how do you provide a backup as a service or a recovery as a service using the service manager. So you can use the service manager. You can ask your application administrators can provision a VM, but also they can back it up. So we are going to have a demo on that as well. Now, quickly jumping on to what is coming in 2012 R2, right? We have made the DPM completely virtual. So far, DPM can be virtual. That means that it has to have a pass-through disk. Now we took away that limitation, and you can give VHD as a VHD or VHDX as its storage, and DPM can leverage that as its backend storage. Also, DPM can protect from using the Windows 2012 synthetic fiber channel capability to take backups to tape as well. We can use the VMM service template now. We are going to release as part of R2, where you can just specify four or five details, and it can provision a DPM. Also, you can provide and customize with the service manager and the orchestrator. You can provide your own customers about protecting and recovering the data. Also, last but not the least, finally, we got the Linux backup, which means that we don't need to switch off the machines or pause the Linux machines. Your Linux machine can keep running, and DPM will back it up, no problem at all. So that's a new, brand new capability that we brought in.
You know, I will choose now and say I give you a hand, but actually I will do the same thing after the demo.
Okay, cool. We'll have the demo.
Awesome.
Right. Also, DPM DB so far can only rely on the SQL, standalone SQL, and we see that as you requested, we see that it's a constraint for you. So we can now put the DPM DB on a SQL cluster. And dedupe file servers, obviously, as we talked about, we can efficiently back up that. Windows 2012 R2 is coming up with hot file dedupe, and we'll be able to back them up efficiently as well. Yes. Can you repeat the question again? Sorry. It's not there yet. If you have a VDA, Windows 2012 R2 is going to do a hot file dedupe on the VDA deployments, and we'll be able to back it up. But that backup is going to be unoptimized fashion, which means that we'll read the whole content and then transfer it to the other side. Even changed content also, we look at the whole changed content, because if you are protecting as a single VM, we need to get only the single VM data. If you are protecting as a whole volume, then we can back it up as efficiently. Did I answer your question? Yeah. So we'll quickly go to demo that Islam is going to do a clapping for me. So let's shift to that.
Well, actually, the clapping goes sometimes goes wrong, but we'll see if the demo is going to work.
Right. Okay. So just before we go in there, let me go to the presentation back. Here, we're going to show I have a cluster, and it has a two-node cluster, and it has two Linux VMs. Now, I have another DPM server called Tekkid DPM1 that is protecting one Linux VM into it, just to show you the scale-out architecture. We ran out of the space on the first DPM server, so we are going to use Virtual Machine Manager. We provision another DPM server, and then we'll back up other Linux VM from the same cluster to a different DPM server, right? That's the demo we are going to look at. So now let's go to the DPM1 server, Tekkid DPM1, right? So if you see here, let me see if I can, good. So if you look at this one, I have a two-node cluster, right? And cluster Tekkid class N1, cluster node 1, and cluster node 2. I am protecting a Linux VM here. You see this one here, online Linux VM 01. I'm protecting a Linux VM here. Obviously, I ran out of the space for the sake of demo. Now, since I ran out of the space and I'm getting new VMs to be protected, I'm going to provision a new VM DPM server, right? Let's go to the VMM and see how do I provision a DPM server. I'm going here. So this is a VMM server, right? You are all familiar with it, right? VMM has a concept called service templates. We have created a service template where you can use this and provision a DPM server. So I'm going to leverage this service, and I'm saying configure a deployment. In this place where basically I'm going to say that, hey, I have Tekkid DPM. I'm going to give a name for it, and I'm clicking OK. So basically now it says that, okay, service template has various parameters that I need to enter. In order for the provision the DPM, all you need to do is provide 5-6 parameters. We'll also have the serial number that you can enter here. For the sake of demo, I did not have the serial number here. So what am I talking here? First one is that where is my DPM DB is going to reside at, and then it's a server name. And then my reporting server, this reporting SQL server can be in a different machine and its name and its server name. Also, what login credentials should I be using with? Let me enter, right? I entered my credentials here. Also, VMM has a placement algorithm. Based on the needs that I have, I can specify which host I want to do it. For the sake of demo, I'm using the same machine, so let's see what VMM finds it out as. So the placing service is trying to find out what is the best machine that is available to place it, and it is saying that it is on the this machine, NKW8HVSA2. This is the machine where they can place it on, right? And all I'm going to do is now deploy service. Yep, I'm going to deploy this. So what just happened here? I took the VMM service. I have six points or seven information that seven parameters that I have provided here, and the DPM is running. DPM is provisioning here, right? So it'll continue provisioning the DPM. It'll put the VM, and then it'll put the DPM, install the DPM packages on it, and with the names that I'm given, and then everything will be up and running, ready for you, right? So while this is going on, I'm going to shift to my second DPM server I have deployed. For the sake of demo, I already deployed another DPM server. So we started with the problem saying that my DPM server has run out of the space in the primary DPM server. I have two-node cluster. Now I need to protect the VM, other VM, from using another DPM server. So I'm going to go to Tekkid DPM2. This is my new DPM server that I just provisioned, right? Also, I need to know the cluster nodes that I have been using. So I have a cluster node 2, and then I have a cluster, okay, let me see if I can get the other one. I have cluster node 1, right? So there, it's a two-node cluster. So as you might have observed, right, in the past, we installed the DPM agent using the disconnected agent installation, where you'll say set DPM, so install the agent, and then say set DPM server and DPM server name. In this one, I already said that the first DPM server, Tekkit DPM 1, is being being used as a DPM server for this one. Now I'm going to set the second DPM server as a way to do it. So if you see this, the set DPM server, and I'm going to say add, because this is a new DPM server I'm attaching these this production servers to. So I'm adding it here, and then I'm saying DPM server name, right? And then I'm saying tekkit-dpm2.forest.carp. Okay, it's a FQDN name that I'm giving here. Now, what am I telling this? I'm telling, hey, agent, you will be called not only from the Tekkit DPM1, but you'll also be called from Tekkit DPM2, and they might want to take a backup of some of the VMs from your place, right? And everything is set here, right? Now let's go and do the same thing for Tekkit class N2. We just did for N1, so let's go to this one. Same thing. I'm just going to say set DPM server minus add, because I'm adding another DPM server to this host, and then DPM server name that I need to specify. Now I just set this cluster also, right? Now I prepared my nodes, cluster nodes, to be talked by the second DPM server. Now I have to go and tell my DPM server that, hey, can you go and back it up from there? So I'm going to go to the Tekkit DPM2. You know this, right? When we are adding a new agent, new production service to this, I need to go and install the agent, right? So I'm clicking install agent. It's the same flow that you have been attached to. Since I already installed the agent on that machine, I'm just going to say attach, right? Now I'm going to tell both the cluster names here. I take it plus node 1, and then I'm going to say take it plus N2, right? It is still searching for that other node. Let's see. So here I'm going to tell that. You know what? I gave it a wrong name.
It's so while this is happening, I just want to show of hand how many of you have more than 10 nodes on a cluster? Perfect. And how many more than 20? So the current, what we do normally, that actually DPM has a limitation with 80 terabytes, right? That actually if you have your cluster actually that has VMs running and more than 80 terabytes. Now, with Neela's solution today, you can have multiple DPMs coming in and helping backing up one cluster. Everyone gets this one? Right? Okay. Right, Neela?
Yep. Awesome. That's correct, Islam. So it looks like it's going and acquiring the whole domain server now that I have back in India. So while this is going through, and it's going to time out and say I didn't find any of these names, I'm going to go and look at how to protect my Linux VM, right? So I'm going to look at this Tekkit DPM1, and then I'm going to look at my DPM server, the cluster node 2. Out here, let's put them together. If I can move my mouse to a proper shape. Okay, so sorry about that. Looks like it doesn't like the. I'll put it here so that it doesn't. Okay, so that's fine. I'll show it to you here. So I have a Linux VM here, right? This is the Linux VM. I have a SUSE Linux that is running on this machine, on this this demo. Okay. So I have a Linux machine here, and I'm going to ping one of the websites so that to prove that my production server is not interrupted, right? So I'm going to say ping hotmail.com, and I'm going to do it for 1,000 times, right? And right now, this is going to keep running here. It's the same Linux VM01, right? Now I have Linux VM01. I'm creating a recovery point here. If you see this here, I'll click, say, create a recovery point. And you see that on the other side, the VM is still running, right? It's still in progress. I can close this one, and I can see how much data is being transferred here. I'm going to look at my jobs that are in progress. Looks like one job is in progress because I started my Linux VM. And let me go to the right side and see. You see this, the data is already transferred. This means that I already took a snapshot of the Linux VM, and there is absolutely no interruption on the Linux VM that is running here, right? In the past, you have to, this production server will get impacted. It'll be paused for when I'm taking a snapshot, and then I'm let it go. This means that you don't have any production interruptions, right? This is the one that we have.
So now, actually, with this, I can actually say, yes, now actually we can back up Linux and no interruption like before, right? So would you agree with me? Actually, this guy deserves just a clap for him. Awesome. Thanks, Nila.
Okay, thank you. So we are coming back to our, okay. I am adding my cluster N2. So remember, this is a DPM server 2. I want to protect a VM from this machine, right? It's a scale-out architecture. So I'm giving my credentials. LB. Okay. I have entered the password. Now it is going to try to attach to all these servers, both the servers. Obviously, DPM, in order to protect it, it needs to be installed or agent to all nodes in the cluster. So in this case, I already installed agent on both the nodes of the cluster, and now I just attached it. So Tekkit DPM 2 now can protect a VM on the cluster, the Tekkit cluster, right? So now I'm going to go to the protection, right, like I used to do, and then I'll say new. It's coming up. I'm going to do a server, obviously, because it's a Hyper-V server. And it is showing me that the Tekkit cluster is here. Now, this Tekkit cluster was already protected by DPM1. Now I'm protecting with the DPM2, right? I'm expanding it. Now, Linux VM1 is already protected by first machine, first DPM server. So I'm going to protect the Linux VM from the second one using second DPM server, right? So I'm clicking next here, and I'm using the default parameters where should be stored, how frequently should it be backed up, and all of these parameters, right? So I am create a protection group. What just happened here? I have protected a VM from a cluster, which is already the cluster where the VM, other VMs are being protected by another DPM server. So while this is going in, we can come back and look at that. It is successful.
Sorry, I think there is a question. So the question here, somebody actually.
Yes. Oh, okay. So the question is whether Linux, whether we can back up the Linux as a VM, or can we put an agent inside the guest? You can protect a Linux VM. You don't need to install agent. Now, can DPM agent be installed on the Linux VM? Answer is no. Right? We are still not there.
I would say not yet. How is this? All right, guys, that's perfect.
All right, so getting back to the presentation. So what did we just do here, right? I have two node cluster. I have a DPM server, Ticket DPM one, was protecting a Linux VM. I ran out of the space, so I installed a VMM here, and that VMM has provisioned a new DPM server. I protected another Linux VM into this one. This is exactly what it is. You have more and more number of VMs being deployed on the Hyper-V servers. You need more and more DPM servers, and we can handle this through it.
Right? If you have noticed, actually, the penguin, when they move, they actually have a happy face when they get moved because they are protected now. See?
That's correct, Islam.
Awesome. Yeah.
So Islam is going to talk about now about the new offsite backup capabilities that we have introduced as part of SP1.
Sure. Okay. Thanks, Nila. So today, actually, we're talking about actually offsite backup. Anyone here running offsite backup? Perfect. And where is the offsite backup going to? Either another data center, any data center, another, all right, or the cloud on Azure. Anyone in Azure here? Perfect. This is. So what we are doing today, actually, we did integrate Azure backup and restore capabilities with DPM server, right? So we do have an Azure integrated service to manage your subscription. So anyone have been through the experience with us? Perfect. How was it? Was good? Awesome. So I believe actually it's more and more easy. Only you're going to create your certificate and push it up there and maintain it. I will show this actually very soon. Single billing, I believe actually that has been simplified since TechEd this year. We announced this, that actually only one single bill for your Azure capabilities and your Azure membership. If you're actually running with monitoring, SaaS, or PaaS, or all of this, you'll get only one bill. To protect SQL Server, File Server, VM workload to Azure, that's actually supported today. And faster to Azure using Express First technology. With our full Express backup, that actually we copy only the delta, as Nila mentioned in the beginning, but actually that one actually will give us a very little footprint that actually we move to Azure to save your bandwidth and save your footprint on Azure. Then ability to see your data source protected to Azure and the Azure portal. I will show you this, but that one actually I believe will be coming on R2.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Right. So let's actually switch gear here and go show us demos. And I believe I am number 5. Perfect. So let me first walk you through the management. So this is actually where you configure your data, your connection to Azure. And this is actually currently now I am configuring Windows Azure subscription on Azure, and I'm using 16.95 gigabytes, right? So this is only is data, as I just I'm backing up there. So you'll be able to get your reports from here. So to do this on Azure, what you need to do is you need to go in here, say new. Hopefully that one didn't time out. Oh, sorry.
Oh.
Good catch, guys.
Take.
Okay. All right. How's this? Good? Awesome. So I will go again for me. So in here, see, when you actually are in it, just you forget. So this is actually, as you see, actually this preview, and actually I'll be, as we mentioned, that will be available on 2012 R2, but actually this still, you can very much restore, backup your stuff to Azure today. So if I go to new, then you go recovery services, then backup vault, then just go with quick create. So you put your name, for the name, say actually DPM 1-2. And here also, they give you the option, actually, if you are actually in Asia and you worry about your data that you back up in Azure, you can actually back up in Asia, in the East Asia. Or if you are today in Spain and we worry about the Patriot Act that we call it, and actually I don't want my data go outside of Europe, you can go here or actually go to the United States if you are actually backing up company in the United States, right? So I will use West Europe, since I'm in Spain, and create, right? That one actually would create another vault under the name of DPM 1-2. So is the vault now, when I create it, is this protected? So is Nila, if Nila today actually working in Azure, does it mean actually that I can go and crack the vault and see my data? The answer is no. Why? Because when I did create this, when I do my backup, I actually encrypt my data on this. Let's see how we're gonna do that. So I'll go back to DPM. I already managed my subscription. I now am going to go to register my data. And as I said, actually, we register this through certificate. This is only the registration. But actually, I do shake hands, say, OK, this is my DPM one that I'm backing up to Azure. So we'll do this here. Yes, and I'll do a John Doe.
There is a question.
Go ahead. Yeah, because it's actually client authentication certificate, right? So I will take this with you offline. But you can do this actually through OpenSSL or something like that, right? And that's why I did ask the question, how was it, right? I will take this with you offline, but I do have the scripts if you want it. And just, right, good question. Then, and you see, I have already a DPM1 vault over there, and it's actually backed up on the West US, and next. And this is where actually I create, or actually I say, actually, if I have a proxy in my organization, so I'll put the URL for my proxy, and I put a username, a password that let me pass through the proxy. Then from here, we go next. And because actually now, DPM is Ben's aware, will actually do go ahead and say, actually, you know what? I will do this between my business hours. I will restrict my data transfer, and off hours, actually, I will do this. And since like, Saturday and Sunday, no one in the shop, I'm actually not putting any limitation. So that actually will solve all the bandwidth issues that actually you can encounter. The next, here I will show the serial store. And serial store here, we don't backup data here. It's only just a scratch data that actually we use, right? Next. And here, what I actually, you remember actually when I was talking about Neela, when AF actually maybe he can go crack the vault? He can very much go crack the vault as he want, but actually my data is encrypted anyway, right? So I can go here and generate a passphrase, and then I can copy it if I want, right, and save it in a secure place, right? I think if I go here. This is the key for the encryption that I'm using, right? Every time I need to restore data, I need to provide this key to restore the data on. Otherwise, the data is not really helpful. And register. Go ahead. No, actually, once the data arrives to DPM, DPM helps that take it to the cloud. And I'll show you actually how we actually now we're going to configure the protection group for this. Good question. So now, we did set up the infrastructure that would be supporting Azure, right? Now we need to create the protection group, and the protection group is a set of policy, if you don't know. We say actually what we want to back up, when we want to back it up, and where we want to back it up. Right? Three things you need to identify. I'm going to go and actually try to edit one of the protection group, what I call it Platinum. And this protection group, I call it Platinum because it's one offering disk tape, then disk, then after that I take from this disk, I take it to the cloud. So no better protection than this. Do we agree with that? So I'll go here to protection. Then I'll go to my Platinum. And I'm going to just modify it. So I'm backing up one VM named Linux 1, which actually Neela took it and backed up on using his machine. Then I go next. This is I'm enabling, as you see, the cloud protection. I'm also enabling the short-term protection on disk. If I had a VTL connected or a DPM or a library connected to the server, I should very much be able to check the box and say, hey, I want to do a Rusty backup on tape. Good? So I go next. And this is my retention for how long I want to back it up and at what time I want to do my full express. I go next again. Then I run a consistency check just before I go to bed so I make sure that everything is good. And I do next. And here, Let's say that actually that all this data source that goes to protection group, you don't want to actually, you want to save some money and you want to save some bandwidth, say, hey, those data, those information or actually this data source are not so quite critical for me. So I just click the one that actually I care about and that they go to the cloud. Do you agree with that? Cool. Then, next. And this is actually my cloud retention. I actually am backing up only at 9 o'clock. Right, I want to do retention one day. I can actually do this actually 7 days if actually you want to go by with the financial books and say actually you need to keep your financial data for seven years. You can actually put 7 years. But I believe we have a limitation here. Only we can keep it 120 days.
Yes, right. 120 days is the
thing. Hopefully that one actually will get improved. Right?
Yeah, we'll work on that.
Right. And optimize performance, and I will do enable while on completion just to compress the data while I'm backing up. So it goes faster. So now, that one actually set up all the infrastructure for me to go with the cloud. Do we agree on that? Do we agree on that? Cool. Do you agree? No Mac. We're not backing up Mac yet. So now, let's go to presentation. So now, how about actually, there's something really important now in IT. We're trying to offer IT as a service. And backup and restore is one of the tasks that actually consume a lot of time from IT. How many times do you guys receive an email or a request ticket saying, I want to backup X, Y, Z? A lot, right? How many times actually you receive an email from the VP telling you not, I want to restore my data. I lost it. However, he has it, but he want to do that. A lot. Right? So why actually we don't offer a self-server capability for every data source that we have, any single data source today? I mean, Neela talked about actually self-service capabilities for SQL, currently coming from DPM, and for file services using VSS when you right-click and say previous copies, right? So how about actually we offer everything, even for VM? We do that. So I will show you something that we have done, Neela and I created 2 days ago about offering self-serve capabilities using Service Manager. So using Service Manager today, anyone using Service Manager? Beautiful. Anyone offering self-service capabilities, backup and restore using Service Manager? Cool. All right. So I believe that hopefully that actually would be new for you. And as we offer self-serve capabilities for protection, we'll also offer the same task, same offer to be recovery, right? So we'll do protection and recovery, and we'll show you how to do that. I take this as exactly if you want to light your laptop, if you want to consume electricity, you just only have to go and take your laptop, plug it on a plug, get power. You don't really need to, the end user doesn't really need to worry about anything. We agree? And IT, which is us, that we take the big box, hopefully, we take care of the whole infrastructure. So with hopefully I'll be able to log in on the demo. This is our self-server portal for today for the company. We actually got the self-server portal based on SharePoint, right? You can create your own if you know how to. You can create your own and talk service manager. Then actually we'll do a self-server provisioning. This should be, or actually can be after that, your only portal for self-service recovery. You want to offer user accounts, recovery, password. You want to offer the mailbox creation when actually HR hire people. You can actually do everything with self-service here. Capabilities. So we're going to go, we have actually multiple offers, and we go self-serve recovery. So we have automated backup request or new SQL server. Anyone came to my session this morning? No? Oh, awesome. This is my friend over there. Awesome. And new VM request or VM restore request. So actually, let's start going first with how actually we're going to offer the backup, the automated backup request. if I click on automated backup request and should say, what's the VM name? I know that actually I have a VM name I'm backing up named Linux 1, right? So you can actually, this only because the demo, but in here, in theory, you can actually just get a Dropbox and let the Dropbox go query DPM and I will tell you, like, you know what, I'm backing up this and that and this and that and this and that, right? And if you want to really go more granular and secure, you can actually customize the web portal that we are seeing now to be based on your credential. If you're actually on IT, or actually if you are actually SQL Group 1 and you are not allowed to see what's database coming from SQL Group 2 because of security, right, based on your credential, we can map you on something, right? You can map this guy, he can see this guy cannot see that, right? So I'm going to type here Linux 1. And here, provides the name of the VM host. Again, I can actually make this as a Dropbox. And a Dropbox, I was just choose the VM host for that actually I'm going to restore to. Or actually, maybe I can choose VS. Or just I will choose where I want to do it. lab-01.sc.lcl. And do you remember the platinum protection and the gold protection and so on? We did specify here some protection groups that actually we can talk to, right? Or actually what the level that I'm on my backup. If really it's something very critical for business, like financial data or source codes or whatever, you can choose platinum protection. It actually takes the data, as I mentioned, go to disk, and from disk go to Azure. Or I can go to gold protection, only disk, or only server protection. Or I can do rusty tape backup. Like, who wants to backup his stuff on data on a tape? No one, huh? Do you want to do this? see people do that? So I will choose platinum protection. Say next. And submit, right? So once I say submit, right, my data is already in Hyper-V, I will do that. So maybe Linux one is not a really good example because I'm backing up, so I actually can do I believe I have a machine here named SQL 123, so I can do this. SQL 123, and I'm going to back up this. It's the machine actually on vs-lab-02.sc.lcl. And I do with this to be protection here and say next. So submit. That should take some time actually to go and just tell DPM, hey, there's a new machine for you, need to back it up. Right? Same, all what I'm doing today, you can go and take this example today and do it for your data source like databases. You can do it for Exchange. You can do it for any data source actually that we are supporting this in DPM. Right? So what's under the hood that does that? So what actually really does that, actually that service manager gets a request, say, okay, I got this, I'll work on it. Because service manager actually is your core infrastructure that actually need to collect all the data on the database about requests and incidents and so on. It goes to talk at the orchestrator. When orchestrator works, orchestrator come here. Orchestrator come here, takes the data that actually we already entered, they get the data source, and from the data source, get actually protection data source and just go create a recovery, right? And if there's no recovery, it's just going to be the first initial recovery. Anyone today using Orchestrator? Perfect. So that's not new. But for the people that actually are not using Orchestrator today, Orchestrator has the notion of actually using data bus. The data bus means that from here, I actually can call all the activities that I actually used in my first all the parameters that I use on my previous activities, right? So all what I have done before, step by step, I can take the steps and call them again and again and again in the same runbook, or I can call them from other runbooks. All right? So that one is actually what's happened when we do the recovery, the backup. So let's say go to see if DPM got the data or not. As I said, so SQL 1, 2, 3, it got backed up now with DPM that it wasn't backed up. Sounds good? Does this something okay? So should I deserve any applause here? No? No? Awesome.
So it's, just to make sure I understand, you said your SQL admin went ahead and said, I want to back up this particular SQL or my VM, and I want this kind of protection type, and everything is working in the background.
Everything. So if you are a hoster today, right? So is anyone hoster here today? My goodness. So you guys, if you are a hoster today, what you can do is you can actually get what Nila provided actually with deploying DPM as a service, can take this and offer it as a service now for your customers, right? If actually, then you can actually offer DPM as a service. A lot of people like me asking what? This is what's happened.
You don't want to fall on that.
So, you know what? And actually, give me a backup server. I will take care of my backup. I don't need anything from me. Short of me in consumption of disks and utilization. All right, I will do that. Right? Go through the portal. Go through the same workflow that I have done. Right? When actually we get to 2012 R2 released. Take the VM and just go with it, right? And just create it for customer 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on, right? And same thing, actually, what we're talking about, actually, create this, actually, service request now catalog in your environment just to get actually rid of the headache of, hey, you know what? I create a VM. Can you back it up for me? Hey, I create a VM. I can tell you better for me. If you came this morning, I was actually showing how to create, request VM. Right? So similar thing that in, maybe it's not really related to DPM, but when we do VM deployment, we get the data that we want, what's the name of your machine that you want, then we create a VM, then after that we back it up. So I will show you another demo, right, that actually I can go and deploy a virtual machine. And from this deployment virtual machine, I can actually opt in back on this VM. So let's see how to do that. I think we have time. Any questions so far? All right. So we'll go to service template. Well, actually, there you go. Go home. I go service provisioning. So I will actually go as actually new VM request. And go request. And I'll say actually, you know what? Please provide a name for the VM requesting. So I'll type maybe, let's say that we have a VM named Linux 12. So do you remember actually when actually where I want to host it, you can very much do this like me, query Hyper-V farm that you have, or actually you can say, okay, you know what, I'll do some intelligence behind this, I'll do some query, I'll talk to VMM get back to me and tell me, you know what, your best bet and your best place to host this VM today, because we have enough resources, is, for example, maybe VSLab 01. So we'll do this. So what do you want to do? No protection? Oh, do you want to have protection one day? Awesome. Or silver, gold, or platinum? We're going to do the same thing. right? And would you like to create a DR for VM Azure? So here, I'm opting in again. You remember actually when I did show you the recovery group, actually the protection group for the Azure, I did show you that actually you can opt in for this only data, that you can actually care about it on Azure or not. Yes, you know what, that's really important. Sure, I want to have this, right? Then you go sure, or maybe say no. So I'll choose no, say go next, and submit, right? So soon enough, I should be able to go to one of the Hyper-Vs that I did deploy on it. I don't remember which one. So what's happening in the background, again, is Orchestrator will kick in. So VM deployment. So this is what we have been doing. So service manager will call this run book that I created in Orchestrator, go step by step going creating the VM that we are doing it. Hopefully I created on 02. Not here, so let me log into the other guy. Linux 12 got created here. So Orchestrator start doing this, and of that, you can go more in this and say, you know what, finish, done, close the ticket, what's next? We're gonna add in the backup soon, we need to monitor this, need to monitor that, so you can add more stuff on my workbook, right, until you finish it. So what's happening here, the service request will call two RAM books. One is the deployment, second is the same RAM book for actually to add this machine to the Azure Platinum Protection Group. So if I go quickly to DPM 2.0, here you go. So I'm getting actually this guy because I did opt out, or actually I didn't opt for a backup, so I got the SQL, the Linux 12, to get back to my recovery group. Does this make sense? You guys, do you see this happening in your environment? Right? So you can actually, all what I have done, you can actually do it in a small scale or a big scale, right, for any data source, for any automation tasks that we're doing today in an enterprise. Creating accounts in Exchange. We have already IPs for Exchange and ADs, right? If you want to know more ADs, we have an expert in AD here, Transform Compugen. Say hi. Or anything that you can automate can go for here. Questions so far? All right. So I believe we're almost done. So let me go, just we need to wrap up. So far what we have done is we said talked about actually DPM and actually enterprise ready solution. That actually with all the system center capabilities today that they can talk together, we get a full complete story with service manager, orchestrator together. Then orchestrator talk to virtual machine manager, then go and deploy in Hyper-V. All of this, we said again, DPM today is capable to back up everything, as usual, as Nila mentioned, including Linux. If you're not backing up, you'll be able to back it up, including 2012 R2. Finally, we had a lot of questions about actually data source, actually about resources for knowledge and backup. We just released, and maybe you guys are the first people to know that, we just released our book. It's actually the best, I think this is the best book in DPM. We got a lot of experience for MVPs, Steve and Robert and me and Fleming. I don't know if you know these individuals, but they're actually well known in the protection and backup world. We had put a lot of experience on this book, so if you want to just please go ahead. I was supposed to bring some of these, but actually we released the book on the 21st, so I didn't get enough time to receive them, but to give them away. Huh? Well, it is. Yeah. So we did that because you're coming. That's it. And now we'll open the floor for questions. Please go ahead. Go ahead.
What's about storage
for Linux? Okay. So the question is, are we able to granular restore from VM? And I believe the answer, not yet. But hopefully the one actually will come when it comes. Is this the right answer?
Right.
More questions? I've seen people asking, can we back up iPads? The question is no. The answer is no. Go ahead. What is the best strategy to upgrade from 2010 to 2012 R2? Is this the right question?
It will be through...
For DPM, right?
Yeah. Okay, so it will be through 2012 SP1 and then to R2.
In other words, you need to upgrade to 2012 SP1, then actually move from SP1 to R2. To R2. Good question. So this is actually the upgrade path. More questions?
R2 can work with, so the question is, what is the dependency of R2, DPM R2 OS dependency? It can work with Windows 2012 as well as Windows 2012 R2, both the OS.
Right. More questions?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Is it possible to use a JIT library on a VM?
On a VM?
So the question is, can the DPM be live migrated to another server or another cluster? Because the dependency of the tape, we would prefer to pause it and then move it to the other side rather than pause it or shut down and move it to the other side, because there are a lot of latency dependencies that are in place, and so we would not prefer doing a live migration of the DPM server.
Is this what your question was? Right. I thought you were talking about the tape also.
Right.
So
it'll be the synthetic, via synthetic fiber channel, we'll be able to take it to the other side. But still, it's better to shut on the VM and take it to the other side and bring it up.
Awesome. More questions? Yeah, a question? You lift your hand. You can ask a question anyway.
So there was a, as Islam was mentioning, the DPM backup to Azure is in a paid preview mode right now, meaning that you got a 50% discount on the data that you're storing there. And we will be quickly getting into the preview release mode within the next 3-4 months by R2 time frame. Yes? Okay. So is the question about, I am taking my, as a hoster, I am taking my customer's data to Azure?
Well, not so much to host, but a service provider, so we'll go on premise.
Okay.
Clients on premise and do a DPM deployment.
All right. This is a good question. So is there any kickback capability where you are setting up your customer's environment and the data is directly going to Azure? Will Microsoft has any agreement with the service providers? I think this is a good question. We can certainly take it up with our marketing department on that. Yes. Yes. Could you repeat that again? Sorry, I did not answer. Okay. So if the question is, I'm taking the data from on-prem to Azure, and can I bring it back to on-prem? Oh, okay. So the question is, instead of going to Azure, can I put it my own cloud to as a backend storage? Is that the question? Yeah. Answer is no. We are now integrating to Azure because we are trying to bring everything into Azure service. You have many more other things that are coming into the play, right? Like your IaaS, VMs, you can do a lot more stuff there. So the target is going to be Azure service only.
But they, don't you think the workaround for this actually that you use DPM to DPM? So actually you'll have another DPM that go on your public in your private cloud? Right. Right.
Right, right.
Okay. Well, I believe this is a great feedback, and I think maybe we should take this feedback and go back to the guy for Azure and say, actually, are we going to have be able to make a private vault for the people? They will be able to host the private vault. But again, it's the solution of having DPM, DPM, so when you go to a customer and offer them the service to go on a private cloud, you don't offer him a secondary DPM in your private vault or private cloud that connect with this primary DPM over there, and you'll be able to do the offline offline backup over there? I agree.
So,
I agree.
So, are you looking at, is it something like, let's say, if you have your own Azure subscription, let's say you put that, but you're saying it's only, you need to have only your on-prem solution, on-prem is the only way, you can never take the data to Azure, is that the way?
You guys provide a portal that allows us to go to this environment.
Right. To us, cloud. Okay. Okay. Correct. No, not there.
I believe this is actually a fair feedback that we can should take.
Right. I'll take it up with our marketing and see.
We've got management domain, DPL in, okay. We're giving individual clients one VM level backups of their data. Okay, so it's, if a bomb hits, we have offsite backups, but it's always with cloud
Right. Right.
So having multiple Azure subscriptions, perhaps within DPM, so each you could set each client to go to their own subscription, they have the encryption key.
Right.
And then they can restore, you know, in the future. Is there any,
so
any other way you can think of working that, so each tenant can receive a copy of, you know, back, have access to their own.
So you are saying within the organization.
Are we going to have to offer DPM in Azure? Have you heard about that?
It's not there yet, right? So the question is, you know, where will the multi-tenancy be there in the DPM Azure, right? Something like that. The answer is no, not there yet. But so if I understand your question, within DPM server, you want to get the role-based access control for your own data sources, whether they are on-prem, whether they are in the Azure service. So I think that's a good one, and that's a good way to take it forward from here, and I'll certainly take it as a feedback.
So is correcting this, is with SPF and Catal on top of this, you'll not be able to do this kind of actually segregation between client A and client B and client C. So actually you, client A, are going to see 1, 2, 3, 4, and you, client C, you're going to see your own stuff. See, and I think with SPF and Catal on top of this, with some coding, you'll be able to do that.
Yeah. Right. Right now, DPM does not support the SPF. I think that's where
right.
the problem is coming from. But yeah, I hear your feedback, and
right.
we'll certainly take that. I think that's a natural way to progress. So if I understand your question, your question is, hey, I already invested on the DPM PowerShell. Now you are shifting to the SPF. So where am I going to gain? So the answer would be is that if you already built in this RBAC policies and everything with your own customizations, you can continue to do that. But then if we need to get into something like Catal where you need the multi-tenancy and then your role-based access control for individual data sources, everything automated, we need that SPF to be there so that we can provide that service.
So I do have another actually suggestion. Is actually what we showed today actually with self-server capability. You can actually take this, if my understanding is correct, the next step, expose this publicly and secure it with credentials for client A, client B, and client C. And in your DPM, you have protection groups for client A, client B, client C, and so on. And from the self-service manager today, so service manager, you can expose this and say, you know what, I'm logging in, I'm client A. This is only my stuff they're going to see. Similar to that. Right. Okay.
On their own Azure backup subscription, they can back guest level, and then it's completely separate.
Right.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
So one thing that I can do is that, at least in Microsoft, when we build the product, there is a strict guideline. We have what is called a CEC criteria, where any user interaction needs to be supplemented by a corresponding PowerShell command. So that's the guidance that we have. So as long as that CEC criteria is there, there is always going to be the PowerShell, and you can continue to do that. Whether it will be there for the next year, I don't know. But I don't think we are moving away from the PowerShell. I think it's SPF is just another layer that we're putting so that you can get the RBAC policies in place. So. Okay. 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 So the question is, from the primary server to the secondary DPM server, have we made any offset location? Have we made any progress on data bandwidth increase? We are not there yet. We did not make any changes in the R2, but I take this as a feedback and see if we can expand that. We do see that the data is growing and we need to scale up, and we are looking at various alternatives and see how do we solve the problem. Yeah.